Parsha Vayeshev begins Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megorei Aviv Be'eretz Knan. And Elo Todos Yaakov, these are the generations, the chronicles of Yaakov. Yosef in 17 Shana, Yosef was the age of 17. So Rashi immediately asks, well, Yaakov, you know, had many children. What do you mean? These are the chronicles of Yaakov, and immediately goes into Yosef. And further, Rashi is concerned with the Smichos of Parshios. What's the connection with our Parsha, with the way the Parsha Vayishlach ended with the Alufei, the chiefs of the tribes of Esav? So Rashi brings a very famous mashal. And it's this mashal, it's this medrash that Mirtz Hashem I'd like to learn together. Very, very famous. Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov settled, can be explained by the following parable. There's a certain flax merchant whose camels entered a town laden with flax. The blacksmiths wondered, where can all this flax be stored? There was a clever fellow who answered him, one spark can go forth from your bellows, which will burn it all up. Similarly, Yaakov Avinu saw all of the chiefs of Esav, whose names are written above. He wondered and said, who could conquer all of them? What is written further on, after the mention of chiefs of Esav? These are the offspring of Yaakov Yosef, implying that Yosef is a solution to the problems of the chiefs of Esav. And it's written in the Pasuk in Avadja, Vayabes Yaakov Esh, the house of Yaakov shall be fire, Ubeis Yosef Lahava, and the house of Joseph a flame, Ubeit Esav Lakash, and the house of Esav for straw. A spark shall go forth from Yosef, Shemechala will annihilate Vasarefa Kulam, and burn up all of them. A similar medrash is found in the Yalkut Shimoni in Source 4, where on the Pasuk, Vayor Moshe, Yoshua, Moshe said to Yoshua, right, go out and fight with Amalek. Right, Pinchas Rishem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachma, Misara Gadahi, Biyad Banesha Rachel Esav Nofel. In the hands of the children of Rachel, Esav is going to fall. So we see this, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent Yoshua, who's from the tribe of Ephraim, from Yosef. Shaul HaMelech from the tribe of Binyamin fought Agag, Melech HaMelech. Mordechai HaTzadik, who was from Binyamin, also fell, fought against Amalek Haman. And ultimately, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be the one to vanquish Esav, bringing the harbinger of Melech HaMashiach, Mashiach ben David. So there's a number of things we need to understand. First and foremost, we need to understand, what is this? This is Source 5. It's Arich Luvayer, Madua Dafka, Yosef Vizaro, who sit no Shalesav. So if we go according to Rashi, right, we'll talk about the second version in a second. According to Rashi, and ultimately we know it's going to be Mashiach ben Yosef who's going to destroy Esav. Why specifically Yosef of all the children? Elo told us Yaakov, Yosef. Right? Vaya beis Yaakov, Esha beis Yosef Lahava. V'dafka hu miyuad li lachem ba'amalek v'zara. Why was he specifically the one who's going to be chosen to destroy Amalek? That's question one. Question two we need to understand is the whole idea of who Esav is, what Esav is about, the whole idea of straw, what straw is about, what is a fire about, what is a flame about, the difference between fire and flame, to try to understand the Medrash and the conceptualization of the Medrash a little bit deeper. Another question we need to understand, which we'll touch on, which needs its own work, but we'll touch on it, Source number 6. The whole mashal doesn't seem to make sense with the nimshal. The blacksmith didn't ask, Lo shall ech yachol yisrof et kol hafishtan. He didn't ask how he's going to burn all of this flax. He asked, how is he going to store all this flax? Where are they going to store it? And the pikeach, the smart person, said, don't worry, you'll burn it all up. But that wasn't the question. The question wasn't, how are you going to burn it? The question was, how is it going to be stored? So why is the answer, well, you'll burn them all up, an answer to how it's going to be stored? Further, and finally, and this will end with the Mirtz Hashem in this year, is what is the connection specifically between the B'nai B'nash al Rachel? Not Dafka Yosef, but there's a quality in Rachel Imenu that is the antidote to Esav. What is that specific quality? And obviously, as always, there's a tremendous amount of insights. We're going to focus in on a few. And ultimately, since Parshat Vayeshev is always read right around Hanukkah, this year it's right before Hanukkah, a day or two before Hanukkah, we need to understand what is the connection between Parshat Vayeshev and Hanukkah, Yosef and Hanukkah, and we'll begin to gain some lessons that we can learn for our own lives from the Chag, from the holiday of Hanukkah. First and foremost, we need to understand, and Rabbi Tatz brings us down in Living Teenager's Guide for Life, that this is going to be an overarching understanding of what we're dealing with. He says, this Midrash teaches a fundamental lesson about Jewish people, the Torah, and the Lord battle against the external forces which seek to destroy us. The Esav nations are represented by straw. Straw is only one kind of value. That lies in quantity. A few pieces of straw are worthless. Only in bulk does it achieve value. Its worth is proportional to its mass. Those natures and cultures which oppose the spiritual value of the material, and the material has value in its mass. That's why Yaakov Avinu, last week's parasha, Vayishlach says, Yeshli Kol, I have everything. And Esav says, Yeshli Rav, I have a lot. But when you have a lot, and you have a lot of materialism, you can obviously use a lot more. You can have messes of dresses. You can have 30 dresses, 30 pairs of shoes, and you can always go shopping for more, and I have nothing to wear. So when we're talking about fighting Esav, we're talking about fighting Esav on many levels. We're talking about fighting Esav, the country Esav. But we're also very much talking about fighting Esav, the culture of Esav, the mindset of Esav, the Esav that represents the physical world and all that it entails, that there also has to be a way to vanquish that, to allow spirituality to be prominent. And that's the idea, Rabbi Tatz concludes in source number 3, the idea of the spark. The spark is a Jewish soul that has the ability, if it's lit, to be able to consume the all the forces of the physical pleasures of the Esav world. And we need to understand this a little bit more deeply, and we need to be able to explore this. Let's start with the first idea of why is Yosef specifically chosen, what we can learn from this, from the Shari Chaim of Goldstein. And he says the following, V'ne'am ayem b'parashatenu, yireh ki kar kocho shel Yosef hi b'nitzachon shel yetzara v'shalem yisriyam. What makes Yosef so special and so different from all the other Shvatim that he is the one who's going to be the one to destroy Esav? So perhaps what stands out in our minds when we talk about Yosef is his midah of being able to be miskaber, to be able to overcome b'shas nishtayon at a time of tremendous challenge, tremendous difficulty. And obviously what we're referring to here in our parasha is when Eshet Peltifar seduces Yosef, and she's been trying, you know, for an entire year to get him. And Yosef is almost ready to capitulate. Until he sees the vision of his father from the window, and we've spoken about that in the past, what that's about, he's ready almost to give in. And then at the last moment, he stands strong, Vayanas Vayetze Achutza, and he runs outside. This ability of Yosef HaTzadik to be able to withstand his Yetzahara, that koach is going to be able to be the one to vanquish Esav. Of course, all the Shvatim, who were very holy individuals, conquered the Yetzara. In the midst of the temptation, he was able to overcome. And that's why he's called a lahava, a torch. Because the torch, the flame, is the extension of the fire. It's the addition of the fire. It's the intensity of the fire. Vatosefa, which is what Yosef is about, he aminatzachad ha-yetzahara. Just to have the fire, it's not going to be enough to overcome the Yetzahara. You need to have the Yosef, the Tosefet, the addition, the flame, the fiery passion above and beyond at that moment of temptation to be able to overcome. That is what's going to be able to vanquish Esav. That's what perhaps we can explain Beis Hillel. It says Mosi Faholeh. We add one candle every night because Chanukah is about in the Beit Hashmonaim that overtook the Misyavnim. Hayab Yischutcho Sifu Yoter Mikaradin. They went above and beyond the specific law in terms of being able to go fight for something that was not one of the three, you know, Veros of Yehereg Val Yavor. They went to be able to overcome the Mishavnim. And they went above and beyond, even though they were allowed to. That this type of oil was Hutra B'Sibor, was allowed to be used. Impure oil, they insisted on finding pure oil. They went above and beyond. They had that characteristic of Yosef, of that torch, of that, the excess of fire, the personification of the of the power of the fire, and therefore they were zoche to add a holiday in of their own right in Klal Yisrael. Yimseinu Ledim, we learn from here, in Surah 8, Shenitzot Katan, we see our small spark, but if it's going to go beyond the Shura Sadin, it's going to go beyond the baseline, Yuchal Yisrofa Kol HaRashav Olam, you can destroy all the evil in the world. You have to be able to push yourself that much further. Yosef is about this idea of osafa, of addition, of intensification. Indeed, Rav Wolbe and Chumash points out that this is really the reflection of what the whole story of the Hanukkah is about. We know that in the era of Source 9, perceiving the miracles of Hanukkah, the Jewish people's service of Hashem deteriorated, which in turn caused assimilation of the Hellenists into Greek culture. The Greeks then issued a decree forbidding the vote of the Beis HaMikdash. Through the Mesiris Nefesh HaChashmanim to guard the Torah and its commandments, they merited a fine intact flax of oil, which was miraculously burned for 8 days. The oil symbolized not only the neglect of Avodah's reason for the decree, it symbolized the Mesiris Nefesh the Chashmanim demonstrated, which helped them regain their original lofty level. And he says, after Chashmanim risked their life for the sake of strengthening the service of the Creator, Hashem performed a miracle and the oil lasted for 8 days. This is the deeper meaning behind what we celebrate on Hanukkah. It symbolizes the strengthening of our performance of mitzvos, which ultimately leads to redemption. That's what Yosef is about. Yosef is about the addition. Yosef is about, at that moment, that you're able to just overcome with an additional amount of passion, additional amount of fire, and be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Hanukkah is a time for intensification of our service of Hashem. At least once over the course of Hanukkah, when we want to sit back and relax because it's Hanukkah, we should instead stand up and accomplish because it's Hanukkah. Hanukkah is about that mysterious nefesh. Hanukkah is about Moshe Fahola. Hanukkah is about Yosef. It's about intensification. It's about moving forward. It's about pushing ahead. With this, we can explain source number 10, the idea that what was this Pechamiu, this blacksmith, worried about? What was the Pekeach's answer? So he explains in source 10 the following. When this blacksmith saw all these camels coming with flax, he says, oh my gosh, they are going to overtake everything. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to try to find every crevice they can to be able to stick more flax in because they have to store it somewhere. And what may happen is some flax may be stuffed into my window and then I'm working with fire and then there could be a fire and my whole, hut is going to burn down. That's what he was afraid of. Where are we going to store this? It may enter into my Dalet Amos, into my domain. And then, since I work with fire, my own house is going to burn up. To which the smart man, the Pekeach, answered, you don't get it. Just like you're worried that your house is going to burn down, the guy who owns the flax is worried that his flax is going to be destroyed. So just like that fear is there, he's going to stay far away from your hut because he knows one spark from you is going to destroy him completely. So you don't have to worry where this flax is going to be stored. He's going to make sure that he's nowhere near you because he knows that you're a danger zone. One spark from you, all of his flax is gone. So you don't have to worry about him coming too close because you are in itself represent that fire. So that's why Yaakov Avinu was told, don't worry about all of these nations called Esav and, where are they going to be and that they're going to destroy you. Don't worry, Yaakov Avinu. They're not going to destroy you. In fact, they're going to stay far away from you because they're afraid that they get anywhere near you, they're going to be destroyed. So he says, if that's true, which ultimately will be true, Balu Moshe Mar Tzion, Lishpot and Har Yisrael, how come now? Umnam Sarich in 11, Lavi Madu B'cholofen Hayoma Esav Lo Mefachein Meitanu. Today, we're learning Torah. We have the fire of Yaakov. We have the Batei Medrash. We have the fire of Yosef. How come they're not afraid of us today? How come they don't want to get close to us? So he says, Havodam Utel Aleinu, Leo Beis Yosef Lahava. You're right, we have the Torah. But we have to lumot Torah b'cheshek rav v'ama v'giyas Torah. It's not enough just to go through the motions. Not enough to have Beis Yaakov Eish, the fire of Yaakov, the Eish Torah. That's not enough. We need to have the Yosef, the going above and beyond, the intensification of the Torah. V'asur she'teyel on a kriyos b'avodas Hashem. We can't have coldness in avodas Hashem. As the Chavetz Chaim once said, when a person comes up to Beit Shittin Shamala, they're not going to say, oh, where were you born? Where did you live? Instead, they're going to ask, Eli shalu kol adam, ha'im ha'yita yudi cham la shemul torto? Uish kar l'chol dor shemekdusha. Where was your brand? Where was your fire for things of holiness? Were you apathetic and complacent every time you said a bracha, every time you daven, or were you filled with passion and enthusiasm? That's the question. When we have this passion and enthusiasm, when we have the chios, the fire, the lahava, the torch of Esav, of Yosef, the flame of Yosef, that Hosafa, that Mesiris Nefesh, that ability to go above and beyond, to say, ach, I'm too tired to have these guests. And I say, no, I'm going to make that food. I'm going to invite that person. I'm going to push myself. Obviously, you know, within the understanding of you have to take care of yourself, but sometimes we're a little bit too careful to take care of ourselves. When we have the ability, you know, you're in the car anyway, you're giving a person a ride, do you drive them that extra 2 blocks to their house, or do you say, you know what, you're close enough to just get out and walk? That extra little bit, that extra, you're davening anyway, you're saying a bruch anyway, you're putting your kids to sleep anyway, where is that extra you? Where's the Yosef? Where's the Hosafa? And to the extent that we have this Hosafa, to the extent that we have this addition, to the extent that we have this passion, that's going to keep the forces of Esav away and in check. And indeed we know, as we've spoken about many times, on the Rashi in this week's Parsha, V'abor rei gein bo mayim, nechashi v'akrovim yesh bo, and the pit was empty, it had no water, Rashi knows it had no water, but it had snakes and scorpions. What is Rashi coming to teach us? And the famous answer of the Bali Musar is, nothing exists in a vacuum. If there is no water, there's going to be snakes and scorpions. In a place when there is devoid of Torah or devoid of passion of Torah, we're going to find other things to fill. And that's where the culture of Esav comes in. How do we, it's not just the Esav on a political level, how do we make sure to ensure that the culture of Esav doesn't seep into us? You need to have the passion of Yosef, the passion of Torah, the passion of fire. If you're so in love with your Torah and mitzvot, and you make projects for the kids, and you make, you know, contests, and there's an excitement of learning, and there's an excitement of doing chesed, and everyone's involved with it. When everyone's excited about this, they don't need to be on their, you know, computers playing these games, because they have other things to fill themselves. And then that lure for that culture is diminished. They stay far away from our fire. But we have to have a fire to stay far away from. This mita of Yosef, the mita of this passion, this mita of being able to be skaber, to overcome his Yetzirah, to be able to stand firm, is a mita that we know that's called the mita of Yesod. The foundation mita. And it's really the mita of protection of Prismila. It's a mita, says the Tavadas of Sternbach in 12, that is the fence around the morality. That's what Yosef stands for. And indeed, he says, V'chein kavalabi adenim shikara tzarot v'niyim shisrael sovlim b'chavle mashiach, that the final battle that we're going to have with Esav, with the world around us, is going to be in the Pigam Midas HaYesod. It's going to be in areas of morality. It's going to be in areas of what we see on the internet, of pornography, of all these things. That's the final battle. And hence, Yosef, who stood strong in this battle, he is the one who's going to be able to fight Esav. It's going to be really the battle of Yesod. The battleground is going to be on being able to protect ourselves from these lures. And this is what Yosef represents, standing strong, having the passion of Kedusha, of holiness, of Torah, and being able to hold on to this at all costs, and instead investing in the Yosef, in the ability to intensify our love and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is further developed, this idea of what Yosef represents, the Midah of Yesod, the ability to stand strong in promiscuity in this area, is developed in a beautiful essay of the Lekach V'Libuv of Rav Shur. And he says that, again, asking our question of how, in sources 13 and 14, what was the Pekach's answer? He says, as long as the Pechami, the blacksmith, is looking over his shoulder saying, oh my gosh, they're coming closer and closer, he's going to consume you. But as long as you're working, as long as that fire is burning, as long as you're doing your work, it's going to stay far away from you, which is what we just were speaking about. We have to invest in Torah, in Avodah, in mitzvot, and not so much on, you know, staying away from. It's like a chinuch question. Do we invest our efforts in staying away from and telling our kids internet is bad, etc., etc.? Or do we focus in on, and we obviously need a little bit of both, it's just a question of a focus, how great Yiddishkeit is, and how amazing it is, and get them so involved in Yiddishkeit that they're not even going to have a desire to be. Obviously, they have to know the dangers and know how to deal with it. But it's just to give speech after speech of how terrible it is without giving them what you should do, and involving them in that. Keep the fire burning. Keeping the fire burning is what the Pekeach says, is that they're not going to get anywhere near you. What is this fire burning? What does Yosef represent? So Lekav Halibov explains that, Source 16, Kolinyan Yovan, to appreciate what Yosef is about, is to look at the story of Hanukkah. Kolinyan Yovan Hayahit Nagdura Kdushas Yosef Atzadik. Yovan was really, the war of Yovan was the war against Yosef Atzadik. As Megale Mukos points out, when Chazal say, the Yevonim wrote, the Greeks wrote, Kitvu lechem al karen ashor, right on the horn of the ox, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. Why the ox? Because the ox represents Yosef HaTzadik, right? Bechor shor hadar lo. He is compared to an ox in the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the whole idea of Melech Yevam, which is gematria of Yosef, and Antiochus is also the numerical value of Yosef, is really a fight against what Yosef represents. Let's try to understand this a little bit more deeply, and we'll see how the whole picture fits together. We know when Avraham Avinu has the vision in Parshat Lech Lecha of Ayotzeo Tov Achutza, Hashem took him outside, and he told him the future of the first Ben Psarim. He took him outside, Liot Lamalamin Ateva, Liot Sholeda Lateva, Lishporet Ateva, that he can overcome nature. Why, says the Sfasemis, did Hashem have to take him out? Because it was before he had a Bris Mila, and he had to be shown that he can be above the natural order. But since he didn't have circumcision, he yet couldn't bring himself. Hashem had to take him outside. Unlike Yosef HaTzadik, the Pasuk says in 17, Vayanas Vayetzei Achutza, he ran outside. Because he had the ability, being having a Bris Mila, and representing the meat of Yesod, a Bris Mila, the ability to rein his pleasures in, he was able to go l'malu min ha'teva, above the natural order. I mean, for a 17-year-old boy, being in the situation he's in, beautiful, handsome, and this woman is changing her clothes 3 times a day, like, what do you expect from her? And it was clear that this nisayon was beyond what we can even understand. Vayima'ein, the shoshela, it was a struggle beyond what we can understand. This is Yosef who can go l'malu min ha'teva. He can control his urges and desires above what is natural. It's not natural to do this. And this is Pshat, the Sfasemos points out in the bracket in 17, Vatit Veseu Bivido, she grabbed him in her with his clothes. Vayazo Bido Biyadan, he left his clothes in her hand. The Beged, the clothes represent the Guf, which is the clothes represent the body, which clothes the soul. Yosef HaTzadik had the ability to leave his body, to overcome, to break his teva, his nature completely. And that was the ability, Vayanos Vayetzei Achutza, to go outside. And indeed we know, and this is and this is something that is brought in Source number 18, that in Kriyas Yamsuf, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hayam Ra'av Vayanos, the sea saw and it ran. Vayanos, the same word of Vayanos Vayetzei Achutza. What did the sea see? Hayam Ra'av, what did it see? Aronos Yosef. It saw the coffin of Yosef. It saw that Yosef went above and beyond and he was able to break nature. So the sea said, we too will have to also break nature, and instead of, you know, being like a sea put together, we will split. It's the representation of Yosef is about lishmor tateva, to break the natural order. And the squiggly in 17, Hayavanim kolt mataratam hayalavian hagashol derech hateva. While Yosef HaTzadik and Klai Yisrael represent going above and beyond the natural order, Yavan was predominantly about teva, it was about nature. Shitasku b'yayfi aguf, they were very much about beautifying the physical body. That was what Yavan was about. So the whole argument or the struggle between Klal Yisrael and Yavon is on this idea. Yavon says it's what you see is what you get. It's a physical body. It's a physical pleasures. It's the beauty of this world. Yes, Elohim and Yafet. And Klal Yisrael say, as much as the beautiful body and the beauty of this world are important, there's something above this. There's something called the Malamina Teva. There's something that goes above the natural order. And we are not going to be constrained and constricted into the world of the natural. A Jew is not the world of the natural. Teva, we know, comes to the word nature to have an embossed coin. We are embossed. We are imprinted above the natural order. That's what Klal Yisrael are all about. V'zehu 20, kol nitzachon al yavanim b'chanukah. This is what the victory is. L'isgabe ratzono saguf, to overcome our desires. L'inakei kakol b'kedusha, to be able to do everything with holiness, the exact opposite of the yavanim, who want us to be involved in things without holiness, to be involved in things in the natural world. And indeed, we know in the Arrow 20 that Yavan begins with the letter Yud. Yud is the Chochman. Yud is the highest level. It doesn't sit on the line. It's the pristine. It's the spiritual. And they took the Yud and dropped it down to the Vav and dropped it down even below the line, Tita Yavan, into the abyss. They took that which is spiritual, that which is holy, and made it mundane, made it profane. Klal Yisrael doesn't do that. Klal Yisrael are the ability to take the Yavan and add the Tzaddik in front of it, Tzion, to take that Tzaddik, to take the Tzidkus. Tzaddik b'menotel Yichya, says Rav Pinkus, the Tzidkus in us, the Yichya, the Chios, and say we can go above and beyond. And that's the name of Chanukah in the end of 18. Chanukah is Chanu Kafei, and the it's brought down in the Imre Emes that Kafhei is based on Ko Yezarecha. This shall be your children above the natural order. That's what Avraham Avinu was told. Here rests the Ko, the Kafhei, the Ko Yezarecha. And now we understand the whole idea of Yosef. Ko Choshel Yosef Ilahava. It's a Ner Hashem Nishmasadam. The Koach of Yosef is to take the candle of God, which is the soul of a person. And we all have an Esh Kodesh. We all have this holy soul in us. But Yosef is a Koach Alahava to take this fire and allow it to just spread out. That our entire body should be with passion. His lavos lavotos labori yisparach. The power of Yosef is to take that physical body and elevate it to the service of God. To take that which is natural and bring it to the realm of the supernatural. And that's why, my friends, the whole Chag of Chanukah is the only holiday that's 8 days, right? Sukkot, Pesach is only Chutz La'aretz. It's not L'chatzchila. Chanukah is the only holiday that's 8 days. Why? Because we know Eid is L'malo min Teva. Shmona is the same letters as Neshama, as soul, because that's what it's all about. It's about going above and beyond. It's about entering into the soul of what we're talking about here. It's entering into the Neshama. It's entering into the L'malo min Teva, above the natural order. One little cruse of oil is able to last 8 days, because there is no nature. And that's why we celebrate on Chanukah. The whole idea of Chanukah is a celebration that there is no such thing as nature. There's no such thing as just our physical bodies. Our physical bodies are just here to serve the spiritual bodies. And we have to be able to see that in the scheme of things, it's all about elevation. It's about connection. It's about Kedusha. It's about holiness. It's about moving above and beyond and taking that inherent spark of the Vayah Beis Yaakov of Eish, and turning into lahava, turning into passion, to be able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So my friends, this is really the first idea of what does Yosef HaTzadik represent. He represents the Midah of Yesod. He represents the idea of circumscription, of being able to hold back, being able to overcome its nature, the Midah of Yesod, the Midah of being able to counter immorality, to counter the forces of Yavan, to counter the forces of Esav, to counter the forces of the promiscuity that we have in our world. How do you do this? You have the Lahava, the passion of Yosef. You have that if you're so involved in what you're doing, they're not going to get anywhere near you. The moment you stop, the fire is gone, then they're able to come in and store their stuff by you because they're not worried about the fire. As long as you keep your fire going, they're going to stay away from you. And that's what we need to understand. When we have that Yosef, The Mosif HaHolech, when we have this passion of Chanukah, when I say that Chanukah is going to be a time where I'm going to increase my Avodas Hashem, I'm going to say brachos, I'll take one mitzvah on Chanukah, and I'm going to invest more in that mitzvah, and I'm going to feel more connected in that mitzvah. Whatever mitzvah it is, every single day, my first Shahakal, whatever it is, my Kriyat Shema Lamita, whatever it is, my Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, I'm going to invest me in there. It's going to be mindfulness. And when I put passion into that, I'm going to feel connected. When I feel connected, I feel less empty. When I feel less empty, I'm less drawn to those things which take me away from my Avodas Hashem. The nature of Chanukah is Shmona, it's Neshama, it's being able to tap into the power of the soul. And indeed, as the Nesiva Shalom points out in 23 and 24, which will be our segue to the second idea, the Shorash Midat Yesod Hi Behir Semuna. Yesod is the knowledge, the clarity of God existing. That I understand, as Rama points out, that a person understands that at all times they're standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you have this clarity of Amuna, then all the other mitos, that's my foundation, it includes really all the other mitos, will be in check. Because when I know that I'm in front of God, then I'll do more chesed. When I know I'm in front of God, I'll be more careful with what I say, gvura, etc. This is what it's all about. That Eish of Yaakov is Torah. The Lahava, the fiery flames of Yosef is Kedusha, is holiness. It's the understanding that I have to dedicate myself to the service of God. When I have both of these things, we have the ability to vanquish Esav. Let's now move to the second idea. The first idea is passion. It's overcoming this pagam of the bris mila, of the yetzer, being able to overcome your nature. And that was the first thing we know about Yosef HaTzadik. There's a second aspect about Yosef. And that is really, Mr. Sifti Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, this is really the theme song of all of the parshios that have to do with Yosef HaTzadik. And you see this beginning in our parsha, Vayeshev, source 25. When you look at all the stories having to do with Yosef, you see Hashem's special Hashkacha. The opposite of what you see in man's eyes. Throughout the story, even though things seem to be running in a normal course of event and normal people, it's all about the will of God. So you start with the brothers of Yosef have jealousy toward him. And what do they want to do? They want to throw him into the pit. Let's see what his dreams are going to be. The very throwing into the pit is just furthering God's, so to speak, plan of getting him down to Egypt. So you brothers are trying to get rid of his dreams. You're just helping the dreams come into fruition. And you see so clearly that God is just moving things along. 26, he's being sold now down to Egypt with the Ishmaelim. And they normally have neph, they normally have foul-smelling oils, and now they have sweet-smelling things. Why? Because Baruch Hu is with Yosef HaTzadik. And not only that, Manachayim brings down that Yosef HaTzadik appreciates it. Like, for God to do this and no one to appreciate it, it's really a waste. But he knows that Yosef will appreciate it, that he knows that there's a menuchas ha-nefesh, that Yosef HaTzadik is so connected to Hashem that whatever happened is good, that he's able to be in this imprisoned state, you know, lock, stock, and barrel, literally. And he's able to say, thank you, Hashem. Sweet-smelling spices. I so appreciate it. Because the whole life of Yosef HaTzadik is connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go further. 27, before he's sold, his father sends him out to the fields to look for the brothers. And he can't find the brothers. Now, he could have gone home. No. Hashem makes sure. Vihine, behold. Vayimseu ish vine toeb asadeh. Behold, there's a man who we know. The Rabban there says, Malach Gavriel is walking around in the field. In order, why? To tell us, ki eishime le malachim. These people that are walking by are angels. Shelo al chinam hayakol sipor hazeh. Lo dienu ki atzat Hashem itakum. The end of 27. To show us that, in total, the will of Hashem is what is going to be fulfilled. And that's the entire story of Yosef, that wherever you go, you see, he's connected to that feeling of Hashgacha, that Hashem is carrying him every step of the way. It happens to be the prison he's in, the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ophim, happen to be there. It's nothing happens, it's all Hashgacha. Yosef HaTzadik, who represents and recognizes Hashgachas Hashem, the divine providence in his life, is the one who therefore has the ability to vanquish Esav, because Esav is the antithesis. 28 in the arrow. Esav and Amalek, him hefech riyas hashgatha. The exact antithesis. By Amalek it says, Asher korcha badera, who happened to pawn you on the way. The entire world, shamim amim b'yirgazim, chil achaz yoshe plashe, aziv alu alufayadot, we say in the Shira, the whole nations were quivering, were shaking. Amalek says, oh, no big deal. Lo reklum, you say Hashem, etzlam hayam, akol begeder mikra. Oh, this is just a chance. They were lucky. They were on a winning streak. And they went out to cool down, Klai Yisrael. Haman, when he tells Zeresh about his mishap with being, you know, having to leave Mordechai and the horse, et kol asher karahu, it just happened to be. The mindset of Amalek, the mindset of Esav, the mindset of Haman from Amalek is about things just happen. Life is a coincidence. Asher korcha baderech. They happen upon you on the way. Lower zone in 29. Now we can understand. Because of all the different tribes, it was Yosef that the bitachon and gilui hashgacha. He saw so clearly God's revelation. Yosef ikar vadot Hashem shalom haya gilui hashgacha hu sinno shal Esav. And therefore he is the antithesis of Esav. Yosef's whole calling is to find God in the hiddenness. And he was connected to Hashem at all times. That the kisei of Hashem is not shalem, it's not whole, until we are able to vanquish. Yosef, who recognizes God, are the most befitting ones to get rid of Esav, who does not recognize God. And he just brings down here in source 30, we have to learn from Yosef HaTzadik. We have to learn not to fall into the hands of Esav, never to use the word, oh, what a coincidence. But rather, our language has to be, oh, what a shkacha that I met you. Oh, what a shkacha that I found this. It's not coincident. It's not, you know, everything is haphazard. Ugh, it just happened to be this way. Nothing happens to be. To be able to see the shkacha at every step, and to be able to appreciate the hashgacha at every step. It's small things, just like just now I called somebody to bring something over, and I still be home in 5 minutes. And we were home in 20 minutes, and the person just came down, and we met them on the street. Thank you, Hashem. It was such hashgacha. You got delayed, we got delayed, and we met at the exact same moment. Perfect. That's how we have to look at life, that everything is orchestrated so perfectly. And he says, in fact, this is one of the reasons why we're not allowed to do any work before we daven, right? Women at least say brachos before they go out, and even if they have to daven a little bit later, before carpool, before what they do, at least say brachos. Why? K'day lakdim refuah 30 lamaka. Sha'agam sha'adam sarich lishtadel mikol makom yachol lavol. Because when you go out to work, when you do things, you may think that it's you're the one who's accomplishing. So first you have to daven, it's refuah before the makkah, that you realize it's not about you. It's not about what you've accomplished, it's all about Hashem. The tefillah puts you in the right state of mind so that you can go out and do whatever you need to do and be so well aware that it's Hashem running the show. This idea of Hashkacha Prati, this idea of Hashem's closest to us, is also a theme in Hanukkah. Source 31, Rav Lubi and Chumash, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, revolves around the concept of Hashkacha Pratis. The Parshios illustrate how Hashem cares about every individual. Bamidbar begins with accounting each member of Bnei Israel and continues the laws of Nazir, through which anyone can attain a level similar to the Kohen Gadol. Then the korbanos brought by the Nesiim are enumerated, right? And you have Isha Sota, which is definitely a Hashkacha Prati, divine providence, that this either punishment or reward happened to this woman. Birkas Kohanim, it's all about Hashkacha Prati. That's like the theme of these parshios. The Nesiim succeeded in achieving the pinnacle of Hashkacha Pratis, for they took the initiative of bringing a present to Hashem, and accepted their offering. Moreover, he delighted in the korbanos to the extent that he repeated in the Torah each aspect of the 12 Nesiim offerings, despite the fact that they were all identical. And indeed, on Hanukkah, this is the Kriyas Torah read of the Nesiim every day. Aaron's distress stemmed from his desire to experience the same divine providence that had been achieved by the Nesiim. In response to this distress, Hashem consoled Aaron that his offspring would attain a similar level of Hashkacha Prati. A handful of individuals prepared to sacrifice their lives for the sake of Hashem, and succeed in bringing salvation to entire Jewish people. Moreover, Hashem delighted in their self-sacrifice to the extent that a new mitzvah was given to the Jewish people, the lighting of the Hanukkah menorah. In response to the spiritual initiative of a few people, or even a single individual, we're looking forward to Hashem responding with a greater level of Hashgacha Prati. Yosef HaTzadik represents his closeness to God. Amalek represents not seeing God. Hanukkah is about recognizing, it's Hashgacha Prati. The Nesim are about this relationship with God. The fact that the Maccabim were successful is about seeing the hand of God. That is the whole focus of what the Hanukkah miracle is about, and that's what behooves us to be able to see Hashem in every step of the way. The Or HaGonus, the hidden light, to be able to see that which is gonus, that which is concealed, godliness in everything that we encounter. Just to offer a small story before we take this idea of Hashgacha Prati one step deeper, Mir Tashem, the story I just heard this morning on a shiur of Rav Fishel Schachter recently on the Parsha. He tells a story of a Yid, and this story really is a story that reflects all that we've said till now. Of a Yid in Eretz Yisrael who had a minion in Bnei Brak, and he was very careful down the Vasikin, right? The earliest possible time, sunrise, that you can daven. And this year, this fellow once saw, it's written in the Shulchan Aruch, you can find it, that of all the korbanos that will be around in the future, we'll have the korban tota, we'll have the Thanksgiving offering, and therefore, when you come to Mizmor L'tota, when you come to that right after Baruch Shema, right, you come to the paragraph that speaks about representing the Korban Toda, the Thanksgiving offering that we gave. That's why we don't say Mizmor Toda of Yom Kippur, etc. And it has chametz in it. We don't say it on Pesach. You should say it benigun. You should say it with a song, because you're rejoicing. This is going to be around in the future as well. So he saw this this piece in the Shulchan Aruch, and he started doing that. So in this particular place, you know, he would sing the Mizmor Toda out loud. One day he's not feeling well, he goes to the doctor, says, does some tests, says, come back, does some more tests, comes back, does some more tests, things aren't looking good, and he's realizing that the doctor keeps on asking him to come back for more and more tests. It's like just the doctor postponing the inevitable. So he is getting a little bit depressed about the inevitable, and one morning he's singing Mizmor Toda, and he says to himself, you know, there's so much to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, why focus in on the negative? And he decides to go up to Tzfat, to the kever of Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. And he goes up to his kever and he says, you know, not many people are careful about this halacha, to sing Mizmor Toda. I am. And that's chus. I'd like you to daven, you know, to be Melech Yosher for me, to protect me for whatever illness I may have. And he starts singing and dancing around the kever, around the grave, Mizmor L'Toda. He comes back, and his next doctor visit, the doctor said, what did you do? He says, I went up to the kever of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, it's like you're perfectly healthy. It's like nothing ever happened. So we look at the story, and we know a zillion of stories like this. We say, this is natural. Of course it's not natural, but the Jews are natural. And to the extent that you connect, there's Hashgacha Prati, there's divine providence, that Hashem responds with a greater level of Hashgacha Prati, even to a single individual. To the extent that we are Yosef, to the extent that we have Islavos, that we move forward, we move beyond our comfort zone, we have the Yosef, the additional, we, instead of just saying Mizmor Toda, we sing Mizmor Toda, we've taken that one step further, we have that flame of fire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond. It's Ma'al HaTeva, above the natural order. It's not about the physical body, it's about a relationship, it's about Hashgacha Prati. That's about Yosef, that story embodies what we're trying to say, what Yosef HaTzadik represents. And this is true, my friends, of each and every one of us. It doesn't have to be someone, you know, who's this great big tzaddik. It's a simple yid in Bnei Brak. There's no simple yid in Bnei Brak, or anywhere else for that matter, my friends. Let's take the idea of Hashgacha Prati one step further. And that's the idea that Rav Wright speaks about in his essay, Meirosh Tzurim, in Source 32. He says, the mida of Yaakov, right? Yaakov and Yosef are connected in this pasuk in Avadya. The midah of Yaakov is a midah of Shem Shamayim Shagur B'fiv, that he always had the name of Hashem on his lips. And you see this when he went to get the bracha, source number 32, from his father. He dressed up like Esav. However, when he was asked, why'd you come so fast? He says, Ki kra Hashem elokech lefanai in the asterisk. Because Hashem brought me closer. Now hold on a second. Here Yaakov Avinu is doing whatever he can to make sure that he is Esav. So if you're going to do everything that you can to make sure you're Esav, the best thing you could do is to speak like Esav. Don't bring God into the picture. And in fact, when Esav comes, he doesn't say, you know, Hashem. And in fact, we see this in 33, that even though Esav was so careful about asking halacha questions, how you tie the salt and the straw, he doesn't ask. He doesn't speak in a language of Shem Shemayim Shegur Bafi. That's not who Esav is, but that is the essence of Yaakov. And that need of Yaakov is transmitted to Yosef. We know that the Pasuk says, Vayara Danav ki Hashem ito, we spoke about this was a few years ago in 33. His master saw that Hashem was with him, Shem Shemayim Shegur Bafi, that he's always had whispering all the time. What are you whispering? Some incantation? No. I'm asking Hashem to help me. I'm asking Hashem to be with me. Wherever he went, he had Hashem with me, to the point that when in 34 he comes out of the pit, and Paro says to him, you know, I hear you know how to interpret dreams. This was his moment. This was his moment to get out of this imprisonment. What is Yosef HaTzadik answer? Biladai Elokim Yanet Shlom Paro. Biladai, it's not me. God will answer you. Yosef Yachol in the asterisk in 34, L'rachecha Dvarav Signum. He could have softened his answer a little bit. Like, Baruch Hashem, thank God, there's no one as smart as me. Yes, I have wisdom, it's given to me by God. No, Biladai has nothing to do with me. It's all about God. That is who Yosef HaTzadik is. V'kach davak Yosef emidotav shel aviv shegam hu lo yechol yalim yatek maskarat shem shemayim. This is what Yaakov Avinu is about. This is what Yosef HaTzadik is about. It's not just hashkocha prati. It's not just feeling Hashem's presence. It's much deeper than that. It's an awareness of Hashem at all times. It's bringing Hashem's consciousness into our lives. And this is, in fact, what the Shari Tshuva 35 brings down. V'yoter mehema b'nai hisaher. L'shuv b'chol yom v'nafshecha l'taher. Return every day. Ki tizkor barecha. Remember Hashem. V'yalecha zichro l'meshiv nafesh. It's going to impact you and make you a better person. U'bizokra yotzra. Remembering your Creator. You will have this beauty, this energy that's going to surround you. Zechira Shem Shemayim in the asterisk, Hi Amakor Vasharish L'chol Amidot Tavov L'Manut Mikol Chet. Remembering the name of God is the source of all good midos and staying away from sin. On the other hand, forgetting Shem Hashem, Hishamer L'cha Pen Tishkachet Hashem L'kecha, then all the negative midos come in. This, my friends, it's why in 36 that Yaakov Avinu is a Merkava, is a chariot of the Shechina, and even when he's sleeping, Hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, Hashem is over his head. This is the Shem Shemayim, the awareness, the cognizance of Hashem at all times. 37. Mi dazu shel zechira Shem Shemayim, hi sitno shel Esav. That is the antithesis, the undoing of Esav. Bashir Yamaven Nigun Muchlat Esav L'chol Derecho Murusha. It's exact opposite of what Esav represents. Esav Husema on the arrow Hachet Varesha. Esav is a symbol of sin, of evil. Ubechol Chet Yesh Kamor Yoter Mishemet Shel Shichar Hashem. The very nature of sinning means you forget God. As Rabbeinu Yonah points out, Pentishkachet Hashem Lokecha. When you remember Hashem's name, when you say Hashem's name, that brings you to Yiras Shamayim, fear of God and all the good mitos. When you forget Hashem's name, then you're opening up to Esav HaRasha. You're opening up to the exact opposite. And that's why the Rambam points out in the circle asterisk 37 that Brachos Rabot Tiknu Chachameinu Derech Sheva V'Hodoya V'Derech Bakasha. That's why we have so many brachos in our everyday, to remember Hashem at all times, to mention Hashem's name. Why do we mention Hashem's name so many times? It's to be able to have this midah of Yosef HaTzadik, midah of Yaakov Avinu, the antithesis of Yosef, of Esav rather. Which means, my friends, this is what it's about. What was the quality of Yosef? It's the quality of Yaakov. Yaakov, Yosef, Lahava. What's this fire? This fire is awareness of God. This fire is the passion of serving God. This fire is mentioning Hashem's name. This fire is awareness of Hashem's name at all time, which is the antithesis of Esav, which tries to forget God, which is about evil, which tries to block God out of this world. And our job is to bring Hashem's name to behold. When Esav is around, ki yad al keska. The name of Hashem is Yud Kei. It's not a full name. He's about obliterating Kivyachol, Hashem's names, and we are about creating Hashem's names. It's fascinating that the Lekach Alivu brings down in Source 38 that Ita B'Medrash, the Medrash says, Shayavanim Gazru Shekol Mi Shemaskir Shmol Shlokarish Baruch Hu Yidakir Bacherev. Is it any accident that Yavan and Yavan, Greece, and Esav, Rome are really very synonymous in terms of philosophy? Anyone who mentions the name of God is going to be stabbed with a sword. And we found in the, find in the Gemara Shoshana Yerchem Rebeis, Shigazra Machus Yavam Shalolos Kirshem Shemal Pien, that one of the Xavier ones, you couldn't mention Hashem's name. And that's why when the Chashmonaim overtook, one of the takanos they had, one of the enactments they had, is to always mention Hashem's name, even in bills, even in writing up documents, which in the end they stopped because it meant that, you know, God's name was going to be just, you know, thrown around, which you can't have. That's why you have to be very careful not to write base hey on top of a page, but write base hey on a dialogue, write things that don't actually mention Hashem, so that things go and get thrown in the garbage. Masinu benusach alanisim, benusach haneres halalu, sheteknu lomar, kidei lahodos ulahalal, to give thanks, l'shimcha gadol. So this is what Yosef is about. These are the parashios. This is what Hanukkah is about. Bring Hashem into your life. L'shimcha ha-gadol. We'll just make mention in 39 that we know that the Beis Din of Boaz instituted to say hello to people using Hashem's name. Hashem imachem, yivarecha Hashem. And the reason that Boaz and his Beis Din instituted this is that people at that time were on a very low level. And they didn't appreciate the godliness in every person, right? In order to be able to see God in this world, you also have to be able to see God and everyone else, including oneself. And since people were lacking this connection, that ki yudihu mikushar lo shem yitbarach v'nikra lov shem Hashem, people are connected to God and Hashem's name is upon us. As we said, v'shimcha hadodo v'kadosh aleinu karata, that Hashem's great name is upon us is called. So they would mention Hashem's name to remind people that you should always believe that Hashem is always with you. You have the godliness in you. And that way they'll believe in their koach and their chashivos. And they'll never despair, that they know that Hashem is always with us. So my friends, we've now done level 2. Level 1, Yosef, it's about Midah Yisod. It's about overcoming temptation. It's about Lamala Minateva, above the natural order. It's about being able to overcome the goof, the physicality. Hanukkah is about being able to see that we have to push above and beyond. We have to have that Mesiras Nefesh. We have to have mostly Fahola. We have to push ourselves above. It's about Shmona. It's about Neshama. It's about seeing the spiritual. It's not getting caught up in the world of the physical. Yosef has that ability. When you are passionate about your Torah and mitzvot, then the Esav, the Yavan, that whole world doesn't even come near because there's no room for it, because it knows there's no contest between that pleasure and the pleasure of Torah. We have to make that fire of Torah so powerful that it's not even going to get near our tents. The second level, the koach of Yosef and Yaakov Avinu, Yosef and Tzadik, is mentioning Hashem's names, is feeling Hashem's presence in our lives. This is what the Nesim were about, that you can bring down Hashem's presence. Each and every one of us can be deserving of Hashgacha Pratit, the story of the Avonim. That's why Ramban says that Aaron was appeased. It's about bringing that Hashgacha Pratit, that divine presence into our lives. Yavan was against mentioning Hashem's names. Our job is to counter Yavan, to counter Esav, to say Baruch Hashem and really mean it and really feel that connection, to say a bracha and actually think of Baruch Atah Hashem, that I'm talking to Hashem, to focus in on that, on Hanukkah, to be able to say our brachos, to have that kavana of really feeling Hashem's presence in our lives. The final two ideas in the short time we have left. We've spoken about Yosef. What about Rachel? B'nei b'nei shal Rachel. We see Binyamin also was a counter to Esav. What is it about Rachel Imenu? So the Medrash brings down the Psikta Rabbati at 41, and the Chaim quotes from Batsyahu Solomon, that Yosef HaTzadik represents the antithesis of Esav, and there's a lot more Torah on this we're just touching on, is because he had the midah of Achva, of brotherly love. Here, Yaakov even took the brachos, and Esav wanted to kill him. Here, Yosef was you know, going to be killed by the brothers, and he responds with love. So one who knows how to respond correctly in a situation, he has the ability to counter that force. Where did Yosef HaTzadik get this quality of brotherly love, even at the expense, perhaps, of his own comfort? It's Rachel Imenu, who gave over the money, who gave over the signs to her sister. So you see here that Rachel Imenu gave over this quality, Yosef HaTzadik, and this of love, of this brotherly love, sisterly love, and that is the quality that has the ability to overcome Esav, which was clearly lacking this quality of brotherly love, right, on Hayom HaZeh, until this very day. However, there's another quality of Rachel Imenu, and the 4 minutes that we have, let's take a look. It's a quality of shtika, it's a quality of silence. Let's look at Yosef first. We know in Source 46, the Lekach Falibov talks out that Kavum Vasum Yamin Tovim Bahalov Aldaya, that Chanukah is a time to give thanks to Hashem. And Lahodos Lecha in the Ava Rabba, the Ari HaKodesh points out that you have the Sheish Zichiros, the six remembrances. In the phrase Lahodos Lecha, you remember what Miriam did. Lahodos Lecha, remember that your mouth is used to thank Hashem, and your mouth shouldn't be used for Lashon Hara, it shouldn't be used for negative things. The paradigm of someone who uses his mouth for something positive is Yosef in this week's parsha. Pasuk says, "Vayava Yosef et dibatam ra'ah." Yosef brought a bad report to his father. Rashi says, in the Aaron 46, "Kol ma shaya yacholu daber b'hem, ra'ah haya mesaper." All the bad he could say about them, he said, "Oh my gosh, that's positive." Says the Aaron Gustafosim, "You don't understand." Yosef etadik v'midav yisod. We know, spoken about, that one who's careful about the midah of the brismila of immorality is careful with kedusha sapeh. The two work hand in hand. Read Rabbi Tatz World's Math, that's a whole essay on it. Yosef HaTzadik was clearly careful with his bris halashon, the way he spoke. And that, says Eruga Sokboshen, is what he says. It was that Yosef HaTzadik was asking himself, Kol mashaya yecholu daber b'hem, whatever was mutter, whatever was allowed to be said about them, hayam esaper, that was bad he said. But if it wasn't allowed to say, if it was mamash lashon hara, he wouldn't say it. All that was permitted to say, that is what he said. Kol mashaya yecholu daber, yada b'atzmon ki yecholu sapro l'chein tzipro. And if he thought it wasn't permissible to say, he didn't say. Chanukah, it's as we spoke about, the end of 47, is the Tikkun Ekuf, is working on rectifying our body, because they were, you know, looked at the body as a god. We know, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the best thing for the body, Lo Matzati Leguf Tov Mishtika, the best thing for the body is silence. Yosef HaTzadik has this quality from his mother, the ability to be silent. In fact, the whole month of Kislev is the month, is parallel to Binyamin. Binyamin's stone was Yeshpeh. He had a mouth and he was silent. He didn't tell about the sale. He also had the ability of silence. And the month of Kislev is about knowing that we should use our mouth to order Lahodos Lahala. Amzu Yatsarti Liti Yisaperu. That we have to use our mouth to praise God, not to be able to use it in the negative way. The month of Chanukah, of Kislev, is the month of utilizing our mouths correctly. It's a month of Rachel Imenu. It's a month of Binyamin. It's a month of Yeshpen, having a mouth and being in control of the mouth. How does this have to do with Rachel Imenu being the nemesis of Esav with Shtika? Listen closely, my friends. Here's the punchline for today. Going back one page, 42, Agadah, Rabbi Bernstein. We know that Master, the Gemara says, Master of the world, reveal and know before you that our will is to do your will, and what prevents us from doing so, or Shabbaisa, the Issa, the Do, and Shibud Malchios, subjugation of the kingdoms. What is subjugation of the kingdoms about? Literally, this word means beholden. Here, too, Shibud refers to the atmospheric pressure of life under Roman rule, the preoccupation with external appearances which characterizes the exile, permeates the very fabric of life there, and it cannot fail to influence the Jewish people who live under their rule. Ultimately, it has hold on them and affects the way they lead their lives. When in Rome, do even your activities as the Romans do theirs. This has never been truer than our own times, with more and more emphasis being placed on how things look, how they really are. And not how they really are, but it's my webpage, etc. looks good and presents me in a good way, that I am good. And there isn't really more anything that needs to be done. The Mishnah forecast of the time referred to Zikvus of Mashiach, truth will disappear. We are witnesses, phenomena. The reality of how things really are consistently made to take second place to how things are presented. Unfortunately, in these conditions, truth disappears. The Medrash tells us that Esav will fall into the hands of the descendants of Rachel. The Avnei Nezer of Sukhachev explains that this is due to a special quality of Rachel, the quality of silence. We know that when Leah was substituted for Rachel to marry Yaakov, she knew about it but kept silent in order not to embarrass her sister. Chazal calls the trait of silence. What's the nature of this trait? Presumably being silent, simply a matter of not talking. No. The Avnei Nezer said something else. Listen closely, my friends. One of the reasons the person 44 may have difficulty keeping information to himself, it's because he feels that someone should know. If we should ask, it is not enough that the person himself knows this information. The answer will depend on whether he considers himself to be someone. If the pieces of his life only attain meaning when other people perceive them as being meaningful, then he has no intrinsic existence. He exists only as a reflection in other people's eyes, or as the address on their mailing list. As such, he will feel compelled to share information that he knows because someone has to know. And not being someone himself, he doesn't count. Rachel's ability to keep information to herself that represents an authentic existence, even if she's the only one who knows, that is still someone. This establishes her as the matriarchal nemesis of Esav. For striving for authenticity is the antidote to Esav's obsession with appearances at the expense of one's existence. This should give us much pause for thought as we consider the current near obsession with sharing information about ourselves or people we know in any way possible. Could it be that we do not have enough confidence in our own existence? Our war against obsession with appearance should take its cue from Rachel. To be sure, the very proper performance of mitzvot is non-negotiable, the very limbs which make the body call Judaism. Yet the sages are beckoning us to remain true to what we are doing, to see to it that those limbs have the blood of meaning and idealism flowing through them. Indeed, every authentic Torah act is reclaiming of the self and a step toward the redemption from the exile of Esav. And that, my friends, brings us to the beginning of our shiur. Every meaningful act, every time we are Yosef, we are Mosef HaHolech, we add that passion, we add that flame. Every time we do that, we are bringing Esav further and further away from us. The more we reclaim self, the more that we don't have to rely on the outside world, we're able to live in that world of silence, to know when to speak, when not to speak. We are the children of Rachel Imenu. We are the children of Yosef and Binyamin, and we have the ability to vanquish Esav. Rabosai, we are called, Klal Yisrael are called, the Bnei Yosef, the children of Yosef. Every time, Yelud Chashuim, we're all the Bnei Ephraim. When we all work on ourselves to have more passion, more Hislavos, where we're not interested in what others say about us, that we're comfortable in self and we're able to keep that silence of self, and each and every time we do this, we are bringing down a little bit more the Esav around us. We're bringing down the culture around us. We're strengthening who we are. Every time we light those Hanukkah candles and we see the flame going upward, and it inspires us to move forward in our passion in Avodas Hashem, not to look around us, but to look inward to the Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, to the soul within us. When we have that passion, when we have that enthusiasm, when we connect to the Ribono Shel Olam, each and every one of us has the ability to destroy a little bit of Esav around us. And in that zchus, it will be Arachti Leil Mashiachai, that we indeed will have this Chanukah be the harbinger of the ultimate light, the light of Mashiach, and the downfall of Esav.